Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org. Parades. I remember the parades. There's a lot about the COVID era, about the pandemic that has since receded and faded into the oblivion of collective trauma for me. But I remember the parades, viscerally, clearly, the parades. Perhaps some of you who were a part of the church during that time and participated in the parades, perhaps you remember the parades too. The parades were something beautiful and wondrous and unexpected and creative and made, at least for me, so much difference during that dark and unexpected and disorienting time. For those of you who weren't here, let me share a couple of memories of those parades. During Pentecost in 2020, the church was invited to come and assemble cars in the parking lot as graduates, who we honor every May, were lined up throughout the parking lot. Preschool graduates, fifth graders, eighth graders, high schoolers, college, graduate students, and the church paraded past each of them, honking their horns. It was on Pentecost, so cars were outfitted in red banners and all kinds of stuff with messages written on the windshield and on windows, and cards were given, and thanks and affirmation was shared, and it was beautiful. And then the cars wound their way through different stations, including a cross that was draped in red in front of the historic sanctuary. It was a beautiful and wonderful day, a day I never would have imagined would be how a Sunday would work. And yet the church came together in a creative way to put on this Pentecost parade and honor our graduates, the first graduating class impacted by the pandemic. It was a beautiful occasion. I also vividly remember the Easter parade, where the cars, South Elkhorn cars, gathered here at in the parking lot, but this time didn't stay on campus, instead left the confines of the church, as we had been doing to worship at that point, and went into the Palomar neighborhood, our neighborhood, around the church, our nearest neighbors, and began to spread the joy and love and message and light of Easter. Messages of He is risen, you are loved, we love you. Beautiful messages, cars honking, and I hear, if I recall correctly, and went back through the pictures to verify, the Easter bunny was on the back of a truck. I vividly remember the big smiles, the joy and energy around doing this creative, different kind of thing as a gift for our community, and as truly a gift to and for each of ourselves as well, if we're honest. I remember the folks who had received the communication ahead of time, who knew this parade was coming, who were gathered on their lawns, waving, smiling. I remember those who maybe didn't get the communication, walking their dogs on the sidewalk, smiling. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. During a season that was dark and difficult, destabilizing and disorienting, in which there was death and so much to grieve and lament. And yet, the church came together to find a different and safe way to be together and to express that love and light within and beyond our church. Parades. I remember the parades. Indeed, the gospel passage we're about to read specifically mentions the importance of remembering this parade we're about to read about, and how on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection, his glorification, this parade could be understood and received and perhaps lived out in new ways. The disciples who were there participating in that parade, they themselves couldn't even fully comprehend the meaning of what was taking place, and so saw it differently when they remembered. And generations and generations and generations of disciples since have gathered for worship to begin Holy Week, invited to remember this parade and perhaps remember it anew, remember it afresh. Sense that what is going on in this parade may be unfolding throughout Holy Week in the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and can unfold still in our hearts and in our community today. So you're invited to remember as we read. From John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. The word of God for the people of God. I'm going to hold on to this morning. Parades. Parades have not been uncommon. In fact, they've been quite common throughout human history. There's even evidence I've read of parades perhaps dating back 10,000 years as prehistoric humans went out for a hunt and celebrated and proceeded in with what they had caught or killed. Parades were not uncommon in the time of Jesus, especially in the first century. There are some famous parades, one that would take place a few decades after the life and death of Jesus, a famous parade on the streets of Rome. It's 71 of the Common Era, 71 AD. Citizens have gathered along the streets of Rome. This parade that is unfolding has been orchestrated by and is presided over by Emperor Vespasian and his son Titus. And there before the crowds that are cheering and excited pass floats and people and mysterious artifacts. Floats. Not the floats you might expect at the Macy's Day Parade. You're not getting a giant Snoopy balloon that's coming in front of you. You're not getting Backstreet Boys or Taylor Swift lip-syncing their newest music. No, these floats are a little bit different. These floats depict scenes from the battle, the war of Jerusalem in 70 CE. Key turning points when the rebels, the Jewish rebels, are defeated and destroyed and killed. And there behind these floats march prisoners of war, some who would later be executed, everyday people as well as zealots and rebels who had fought against the imperial power, who had fought against Rome, people who had been rounded up and brought to Rome, some, as I mentioned, who would be executed, others who would be imprisoned for life, still others who would be conscripted into the construction of the Colosseum, the grand arena of Rome, still others who would become the gladiators who would fight and die to the cheering crowds in Rome. These were terrifying and yet cheered over events in which people would gather, perhaps to cheer on the dominance of Rome, perhaps to cheer on the power of Caesar, perhaps to cheer on for fear of being seen not cheering, for fear of what would happen to them if they didn't cheer, for fear of what would happen to loved ones, for fear of what would happen to the communities they care about if they didn't participate in and support what was going on in Rome. Parades. Parades have meaning and purpose and social significance. And the parade there was meant to celebrate the power of Caesar and the dominance of Rome and the destruction of people who would stand in the way of the powers that be. So perhaps it's not entirely surprising to see this parade that Jesus leads into Jerusalem as a little bit different. Not quite the same. Indeed, it might be helpful for us to read it in contrast to the kinds of parades of that day. Even in Jesus' time, there were parades that were happening in Jerusalem. This was a festive time. This was a religious occasion, a religious observance. This was the Passover season, and people were streaming into Jerusalem from all over the Mediterranean world, as well as the countryside, to partake in the religious observations of that time, to partake in the temple cult and the temple worship, everything that was going on in Jerusalem. And so there were tons of people, and perhaps some people who didn't like Rome or the way things were working. Some people who wanted to rebel and revolt against Rome. And so Rome, knowing this, would parade in commanding armies. There would be parades entering Jerusalem from the seaside where a war horse and a captain, a commander would be accompanying weapons and armor, the sound of marching. On the other side of Jerusalem from the hill country comes this peasant Galilean leading a ragtag group of men and women, children and adults, the sick, the healed, the poor, even the rich who were bankrolling his ministry and mission, those who were ostracized and pushed down and pushed out, and those who were accepted within the society. There they were, gathered together, streaming into Jerusalem, and Jesus was known. His reputation had grown. People were aware that he was coming, and yet there is this great contrast between imperial Rome and power and dominance and this Jesus person who feeds and teaches and heals and seeks to reach out with compassion and mercy and forgiveness with no war horse, with no army, entering the same city. And thus Holy Week begins. Holy Week begins with this great contrast. The one who is called king has seemingly no power. The one who is called king has no army. The one who is called king rides in on a donkey with branches and clothes strewn on the road. Perhaps the contrast could not be greater. But in case we're too quick to pat ourselves on the back, we might want to pay attention to what Jesus does and what the expectations even of that entourage that was following Jesus and the crowd that gathered there to celebrate him. Perhaps we need to pay attention to what Jesus does to see that Jesus is even steering the expectations there of those who saw something different in Jesus than in Caesar. It's interesting how John's gospel plays this out for us. We get Jesus, who a great crowd had come to welcome. Why? Well, perhaps because they had heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Just a few stories before in John's gospel, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and surely the one who can raise the dead can raise an army and overthrow the oppressive tyrants of Rome who have been controlling and exploiting and impoverishing people. Perhaps this one can do what others haven't been able to do. Perhaps the one who can raise the dead can still do something miraculous, even if he comes with no army. So they gather to welcome this Messiah, this healer, this rabbi, this teacher, this perhaps anointed one of God who's symbolizing that a new era has dawned, that God is doing a new thing, that what has gone on before might be changed by this person, and the expectations, perhaps the excitement, you can feel it as the crowd gathers. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, not just because that's what was available, but because you have to know that branches of palm trees are symbols of national pride. Just a few generations before, a few hundred years before this processional, there would be a processional celebrating the Maccabean revolt. It wasn't Rome who was in charge then, it was the Greek emperors and rulers. And the Maccabeans revolted against and pushed out the Greeks, and palm branches were waved because Israel, the political entity of Israel, now had autonomy again. So when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, there palm branches are not just whatever they find, but perhaps symbols of, yes, we're going to overthrow the tyrants and we're going to have political autonomy again. The one who raised the dead perhaps can raise an army or do something even more miraculous to kick everyone out. And what does Jesus do? After the crowd has shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel," in response, as if to say, maybe the script isn't going to go quite how you plan it, Jesus finds a young donkey and sits on it. and where the quote from Zechariah would say, "Rejoice, daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming," there John has said, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming." Don't be so afraid of violence and destruction and tyranny and death that that becomes your instrument of choice as well. Step away from the fear that would lead us to more security and control, efforts to vanquish people who are the bad guys only to become that ourselves because those are the same tools we use to hurt and harm others. No, this isn't about violence and dominance and control. Jesus takes a donkey, a symbol of humility and peace, doesn't come riding in on a different kind of war horse, but comes riding in on something that signals a different kind of game, a different kind of world, a different kind of life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your king is coming. But it may not be the king you expect. And his disciples, they didn't get it. That happens in John's gospel. It happens in all the gospels. And if we're honest, it probably happens to us too. There's some measure, there's some way in which if we look at our faith over time, we realize we haven't always gotten it. And that is okay. The key isn't whether or not we always have it all, but whether or not we remain open to whatever God would reveal and show to us. And sometimes there are some things that are hard to see until after the fact. And for the disciples, it was hard to imagine that God could rewrite a script where violence and conquest and dominance weren't the only way to get things done. And yet, right here, Jesus is already beginning to rewrite that script. There's another way. And it might seem impossible. It might seem hopelessly naive. It might seem silly and ineffectual, but there's another way. And it may take the eyes of faith looking back through the mystery and surprise of resurrection to fully understand that another way is possible. But even here, even now, it's not going to be by violence and conquest and control that the kingdom of God emerges and flourishes and saves. Parades. I remember the parades. And the way I'm beginning to remember and understand this parade is that God is always up to something, even if we can't always make it out and figure it out. And that these parades were designed to rewrite the scripts that we often think are the only way the world works or the only way our lives work. And instead, God might be doing something new, something that's difficult to understand. And yet, God invites us to be not trying to control anything, but present and peaceful to see what the next best thing might be. Jesus enters into Jerusalem in peace and radical presence because Jesus knew that God was up to something new. And even if his disciples couldn't quite figure that out yet, he didn't leave them behind. He just started rewriting the script. I remember another parade that happened during COVID. It was a special moment. Folks from the church gathered in a neighborhood not far from here. And as we waited for some more cars to arrive before parading past a youth from South Elkhorn's house to wish him happy birthday, Ty Carrick, we were assembling windows that had happy birthday signs on them. There was music that was blaring. There were streamers and decorations, and out ran this person. One of the neighbors, Angie, one of your neighbors, just ran out and said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, we're a church and we're about to go celebrate one of the youth in the church. It's their birthday." And they said, "This is amazing. With all that I've seen that churches have been doing during COVID, I would never have imagined a church would do something like this. Safe, meaningful, creative. This is such a blessing to me. Thank you." And we paraded by that young person's house. Ty was jumping up and down. Everyone's heart was filled with joy. And something happened when we rewrote the script, when we trusted God to find a creative way to be who God has called us to be. This Sunday, if you feel stuck in a script, if the world feels stuck in a script, I want you to know this morning, it's not the only way the world has to be. I want you to know this morning that God is always up to something new in each and every one of us and in all of us together when we trust that the God of new beginnings and new life, the God of forgiveness and mercy and grace, is not controlled by the need to control, but shows up in love. May we do the same. Hosanna in the highest, and peace on earth. Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org. where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.